Oh, we're on. Exactly. Just talking to the guests here off mic. I'll cue you next time. Hi again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call and talk show. I'm Ray Graff, as you may have surmised. It's our Pets and Vets program this afternoon. Here to take your calls are Drs. Michelle Hardacre and Kelly Spence of Central Veterinary Hospital in Albany, New York. Dr. Michelle Hardacre earned her veterinary degree from Auburn University. She's a member of the American Veterinary Medical Association, the American Association of Feline Practitioners, the Columbia Green Humane Society, and the Capital District Veterinary... It's a long, long CV. And the Capital District Veterinary Medical Society. She has a special interest in veterinary surgery, farm animals, and caring for misfortunate animals. We're not sure misfortunate's a word, but we'll find out. Dr. Kelly Spence earned her veterinary degree from the University of Illinois. She's a member of the New York State Veterinary Medical Society and has a special interest in feline medicine. Whew. Dr. Hardacre, Dr. Spence, welcome to the show. Nice to have you here. First time.
Yes.
Are you nervous?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Well, first and last, maybe. We'll see.
You should be. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also, if you prefer, email us, voxpop@wamc.org. Tweet us, if you wish, @WAMCVoxPop. If you do that, though, you're limited in characters. So try to get us in those brief bits of information, the age, the sex, what kind of pet. You know, if it's a dog, we want to know. So if you want to do that, that's good, because we can't follow up. So if you're emailing or tweeting your questions, give us as much as we can. You can also go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC radio. You can go to our website, WAMC.org/VoxPop, and comment there. All right, all that is dispensed with. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Hardacre, Dr. Spence, nice to have you here on the show. I'll tell you, these introductions for you doctors can be very, very, very long. How did you get involved in this, Michelle? What drew you to this? No, in radio. No, you don't want to be in radio. In veterinary medicine.
I don't know. I always wanted to be a vet since I was a kid growing up. You know, we had all kinds of animals, and I felt like I kind of understood what was going on with them. And, you know, it's not just that I liked them. I thought I could surmise how to help them.
Has it worked out for you?
Yeah, most of the time.
Yeah, you're happy?
Yes.
Good. All right. And Dr. Spence, how about you?
I'm just in it for the money. No, I'm
just... Well, you see,
said no veterinarian ever. No, I think all of us who are in this field do it for the pets. The hours are long and the pay is not what, you know, a human doctor is. So we all, any veterinarian does it because they truly love animals.
And love cats.
I do. I like cats. I like they're a little difficult, a little challenging to work with. They're like a teenager.
They are challenging.
Yes,
I have four daughters and a female cat at the house.
Yeah, it's
and
pretty
they're
much
all
the same.
Thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yep.
Very finicky and just moody. And
yes.
Are cats smarter than dogs?
Well, I'm a little. I think so. But
I agree.
I'm a little biased.
I would say yes too. They're far more clinical and deeper thinkers than dogs.
All right. Now, Definitely. Of course, you know people will disagree.
Yeah.
That's
kind of why
I asked the question. All right. The phone lines are loaded. Let's go right over there to Janet in Albany. Janet, you're on.
Yes. I have a four-year-old male cat, and he eats a lot of chow. Every 2 days, his chow bowl is empty. I'm wondering if too much dry food will cause the cat to have eventual kidney failure.
I think I'd be a little bit more worried about him being overweight,
yeah.
I guess, would be my main concern.
Rather than the type of food.
Yeah. Do you measure out his feedings at all, or are you just kind of dumping the food in the bowl?
I measure out his feedings.
Okay. And how are you basing that measurement?
I give him four scoops every 2 days.
Yeah. I think we see a lot where we get in the habit of giving a scoop, and it can mean 8 ounces or it can mean a giant amount. So I think, especially in a young cat, so cancer wouldn't be the first thing that I would be concerned about, but obesity in young animals starts to creep up if you're not being really cognizant of how much you're feeding. And so look at the food you're feeding. The calorie content can change really drastically from food to food. So you want to make sure, based on the food that you're feeding, that you're really reading what for his ideal weight he should be eating. And then most cats we recommend, rather than just putting the food and leaving it out, you might have to move to kind of a more twice a day, you know, and what he's not finishing pick up, so he can't kind of graze all day. But
right, because the problem is when he runs out of food, he'll meow and keep meowing until he gets it.
He's got you trained, it sounds like.
Yeah, and how do you break that vicious cycle of a cat that never wants to stop eating?
Yeah, I usually will let them run out of food during the day when you're at work, so they can cry all they want. And at night, when you need your sleep, you might, alter how you have that cycle occur.
That's a good plan. Mm-hmm. Janet, thank you very much for the call. As far as the whole debate, and we hear this a lot on this program, wet food versus dry food. And I've heard some vets say, listen, you got to get the cat eating meat and off the carbs.
Yeah, I think it's I personally have a cat that's diabetic. And so I think that's a main concern with an increased carbohydrate diet in cats. So if your cat will eat a canned food, I think it's good to encourage that. Not every cat will.
Right. Sometimes they don't. They don't fit with the program. They only eat dry, and it's very difficult for people to change them, or they can't. So you have to see whether the animal has any problems. Obesity is the biggest one that we see, of course, and limiting their calories, and really regardless of what kind of food they eat, it's just too much.
But the philosophy of changing a cat from, say the cat is basically addicted to dry food, the cat will eventually eat the meat if the cat's hungry enough, right?
That's the thinking. Usually we'll tell people to try and tough it out for about 3 days, and really you don't want to starve a cat.
Right.
They can get into different metabolic problems with that if you do it. Most people can't stick to their guns anyway, but generally I think if you have them eating less than they want and something else is there canned food-wise, and it's got to be fresh, you know, you can't just leave it out for 3 days either. You can encourage them to look at something different, but sometimes their will is stronger than yours.
You got that right. All right, let's go over to Kathy in Middletown. Kathy, you're on.
Hi. I have a question. Actually, if possible, too. I have a cat coming on Saturday from Siamese Rescue. She's 11 years old, and she apparently pees standing up, and from what I've been told, she pees over all the boxes that are on the market now. I've looked on the internet. I've been in all the pet stores around. And I was wondering if you had any suggestions as to what to do, how to handle that. And then my other thing is that, if possible, if you can give me some pointers on how to choose a vet. I have a vet that I had been using before I lost my last cat, but he's kind of retiring, and I'm not wild about the new vets that are in that practice.
Oh, boy.
Oh, gosh, it's not us.
No names. No names, please.
No names are coming.
Okay.
That's great.
Have you tried, or has this cat ever had a covered litter box? Because that might be an option with that kind of, management.
From what I've read, when you have a covered litter box, the lid goes over the outside, and so the liquid then goes and leaks out between the top and the bottom.
Yeah. I mean, it's cats and litter box issues. We see a lot of appointments with those kind of questions. Every cat is different. Definitely we recommend trying as many, you know, having multiple boxes in the house with maybe different substrates. So some cats really prefer clumping litter, where some cats like the kind of pelleted litter. I have a friend who had a similar issue. She actually keeps her litter box in her bathtub, like a spare bathtub, because it's just easier to clean out that way.
Yeah.
You have to have a spare bathtub. So if you do, you know, that could be helpful.
Yeah.
But really, you know, if it's most cats pee standing up, so, you know, having a long, deep box, if you can try covered, you can try uncovered, but really a lot of options and space and providing some privacy for them, I think, is important too. Okay.
And I would say if you're trying to find a vet, ask your neighbors who they're happy with, and word of mouth is probably the best way to choose someone.
Kathy, thanks a lot for the call. A number to call is 1-800-348-2551. We're joined today by Dr. Michelle Hardacre and Dr. Kelly Spence of Central Veterinary Hospital here in Albany. So you must see a lot of, being that you're right up the street from us, you probably see a lot of critters that don't go outside.
Right, right,
and
we do.
Are you in favor of that? We have a cat that runs around all the time outside in the suburbs and kills things and has a wonderful time. But are you of the mind that it's better to keep them inside?
Mm-hmm. They're safer. They're safer, especially in the streets of Albany.
Yeah. Oh, I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I grew up on a farm and our cats were inside and outside. But I mean, there are a lot of things, a lot of risks, a lot of other infections they can get from being outside. And if you never have to deal with fleas and the animals inside, it's a beautiful thing, you know. So there are a lot of things that I think they have enough space and exercise indoors for cats. And
we certainly have learned more about enriching cats' environments. I mean, we do a lot of that. I think a lot of the issues we see with cats inside is that they're bored. So we do see a lot of kind of troubleshooting how to make cats' indoor lives more fulfilling. But yeah, I mean, we see a lot of bite wounds from cats that are outside, a lot of feline leukemia and feline AIDS. And so if you can limit those risks, it's preferable.
It is Pets and Vets on Vox Pop. We'll take a short break here. 1-800-348-2551. And then back to the phones we go.
Support for WAMC comes from the Honest Weight Food Co-op, located at 100 Watervliet Ave in Albany, offering local and organic produce, groceries, specialty items, and prepared foods. HonestWeight.coop. Interim Healthcare, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day so you or a loved one can stay in your home. Supporting the Mohawk Hudson Land Conservancy, InterimHealthcare.com. And Northshire Bookstore, Manchester, Vermont, Saratoga Springs, New York. Christopher Scotton presenting Secret Wisdom of the Earth, Sunday, 4 p.m., Northshire.com.
The fun drive begins Monday at 6 a.m., don't you know? It's a $1 million fun drive, and we're trying to make it a $500,000 fund drive with the help of the Lockbox and you at WAMC.org. The Lockbox is there. We're up to about over $450,000 raised. If we can hit $500,000 by the beginning of the drive on Monday, Berkshire Bank kicks in another $10,000. So if you want to make a pledge and shorten the fund drive and get us back to regular programming next week, go to the website right now, WAMC.org. Make your pledge. It all counts on day one, WAMC.org. All right, it's Pets and Vets. A lot of cat calls so far, but cat calls, very good. But you guys know dogs too, right?
Yep.
Yeah. All right, well, let's go back to the cat calls. And Grace in Sheffield, Mass. Grace, you're on.
Hi. A comment on the last caller.
Okay.
We adopted a cat that arrived with issues. And
what kind of issues?
Well, litter tray issues.
I see.
Yeah. I got the covered litter tray, and so I caulked the seam between the top and the bottom.
All right.
And that sort of solves the problem.
All right, caulk.
You can use weather stripping caulk, or you can, you know, get regular caulk and seal it. And then that, it's worked for us.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. My question is, it's about our one kitten. I should say that he was one of six a little kittens abandoned next door, and we rescued him, and he adopted me, and so I adopted another one that got along with him, and so we have two of them as buddies. But he likes to, when I take a nap, he you know, comes in under the covers and, you know, cuddles in there. And my question is, how in the world does he keep from smothering? I mean, on the blankets cover my head, well, you know, I panic-like, you know. But how does he keep from smothering, or how does he stand it under there, you know what I mean?
I don't know. Obviously, he does, and yeah. he's not in a plastic bag. I mean, there is yeah. air that exchanges through it, but some of them just like the warmth and the cuddling, I guess, and
yeah.
not every cat's like that, but, I mean, he may or may not outgrow it, but I wouldn't worry about him suffocating. I would worry about him more getting squished if you roll over or things wow. like
no,
that.
No, he's 2.5 years old now.
Oh, okay, so he's not
yeah.
a baby. Yeah.
But, well, when he's in the mood, he cuddles, you know.
Oh.
That yeah. sounds like you lucked out with a cuddly cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
They're not all like that.
Yeah.
All right, Grace. Well, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye now.
Thank you.
1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number, and it's Nancy in Belchertown. Hello, Nancy.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you very much. I'm wondering, referring back to the woman with the urinating cat.
Yeah.
How do I tell my husband that he needs to install another tub in the house for the of the cat?
All right.
That might be a marital issue.
Yeah, that's a different program.
But I'm wondering about the regurgitating cats. I understand hairballs, but occasionally one will regurgitate food that they've just recently eaten, undigested.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just like liquid, clear liquid, no food in it. And I'm curious what the difference is.
Is that a major cause for concern?
Yeah, well, so the food, the dry food, you said it's pretty soon after they're eating?
Mm-hmm.
And are they really fast, exuberant eaters?
No, they have access to food all the time, so they're kind of lackadaisical eaters.
Okay. I mean, sometimes we see with cats regurge when they eat and then bring the food right back up, and usually that's pretty close to right after they've eaten.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's like the lady who called in earlier, if your cat's eating a lot of food and eating too fast. And so we'll often tell people if you can spread out the food, so instead of feeding them in a bowl, I'll sometimes tell people to try like a muffin tin where you can move a little bit of kibble in each compartment so they can't eat as much all in one bite. But if they're vomiting fluid or bile, certainly you get concerned about, you know, other more serious things, inflammatory bowel disease and food allergies. And so, you know, it's not a bad idea to stop by your vet and see if your cat hasn't had a physical. We do annual blood work screening just to make sure everything looks good. But, you know, there can be, just like in people, a lot of different causes for vomiting. Hairballs, yes. You know, eating too fast, yes. But if they're really having abdominal effort and bringing up fluid or bile, then usually we like to check and make sure it's not something more.
Great. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Nancy, thank you very much for the call. We're joined today by Dr. Michelle Hardacre and Dr. Kelly Spence of the Central Veterinary Hospital here in Albany. And let's go to Jim in Brunswick. Hello, Jim. You're on.
Hello there. I've got one for the dog team.
All right.
Yay.
And I have a 9-year-old golden retriever, and in the course of treating an ear hematoma, we gave him, or the vet prescribed, Rimadyl as an anti-inflammatory, and it's done great, and he's actually walking and getting up easier. The question is, what are the long-term effects of maybe a long-term use of Rimadyl?
Well, Rimadyl is in a class of NSAIDs. Just like in people, it'll help with fever, pain, swelling, and we do have many older pets that are on it chronically. That's just one of many different ones, but they can cause GI upset or bleeding. You can have monitoring that is done to make sure that you don't have other organ systems like the liver or the kidneys suffer any, I think, irritation from the medication as time wears on. Labs in particular tend to be more sensitive to these drugs, so I would really stressed that you should continue to monitor with blood work and looking for other side effects real closely because of the breed that you have. But at 9, you know, he should be on some sort of nutraceuticals, supportive things that are helpful for osteoarthritis, like, omega fatty acids, glucosamines, vitamin C, all the kind of things that are also beneficial and helping to manage that, and other modalities that exist too if you don't want to have Monrimidil continually.
Okay.
Jim, thank you very much for the call. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number here on the Pets and Vets edition of Vox Pop. Last one before the fun drive. Let's go to Christine in Loudonville. Christine.
Hi there. Hello, doctors. Hi. I have a question about a cat.
Okay.
Lola has a urinary tract infection, so says the vet, and we were there and got Clavamix for her.
Mm-hmm.
She offered to do an X-ray. Simply because I couldn't fit it in my budget at the time, I chose not to do the X-ray. So she gave me the prescription, and she said she might actually have stones, and that she did not tell me what she would do next. So she said to give her this and monitor her. She's been on it for maybe 4 or 5 days, and I don't really see much results. She's still leaving a lot of spotting all around our house. With a bloody urine.
Oh boy!
In very rare places, so it's just gotten to be quite a nuisance.
Sure.
So, what would you suggest I do now?
Yeah, I mean, I think imaging of the bladder is always makes sense if you have a urinary tract infection that isn't clearing up, because we do see a lot of bladder stones in cats. They can also get just cystitis, just inflammation in the bladder. And sometimes doing an abdominal ultrasound and looking at the bladder, you can see, is the bladder too thick or is there some abnormality that way that isn't a stone? So there can be some benefit to that as well.
And you can see a stone usually.
You can see a stone as well, yep. If there's something like a stone in cats, we often, if it's the right type of stone, sometimes diet changes can be helpful to dissolve them. And if your vet hasn't talked about that, maybe ask a little bit about diet changes. I don't know if your cat is on dry or canned food, but we do try to encourage as much moisture in the diet as possible, because that can be really helpful to, really concentrated urine can be irritating and can cause things to stick together and make you more likely to get stones.
Okay. So if I did do the X-ray, would it have changed the her dosages, or what would have changed if I went ahead with the X-ray? That's what I guess.
It would give you more information. And putting her on antibiotics, if she had stones, we would probably do that as well. But we would do more. So it just really would help kind of nail down that diagnosis. So they're saying, does she have a urinary tract infection? Well, we're going to assume that because she has the symptoms and the signs of that. Mm-hmm. But there could be more going on. And
did they get a urinalysis too to start, or no?
Well, they did take a sample of the urine.
Okay, good, because that's a good starting point.
That's what apparently led them to believe that that she's got the UTI.
Yep.
She did also have she was spayed maybe 2 or 3 months ago. That couldn't have anything to do with it, could it?
So it wouldn't be my first rule out. Is it impossible? No. And you also have to think sometimes stress in cats can link to cystitis or inflammation in the bladder. So is it loosely associated? It could be.
Hmm.
But I think, the course of antibiotics, we usually do a 7 to 10 day course. And if she's not showing improvement, then you really should follow up.
Christine, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it very much. So stress can lead to cystitis?
In cats. Yeah, we see it a lot.
Wow. So neuroses really plays a big part in
cats
what you do.
Cats are great. They're special.
Okay, over to Margie at Olive Bridge. Margie, you're on Vox Pop.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. Hey, I have a This is just in response to the woman who's got a kitty who does her thing standing up.
But all right.
I had a kitty who did her thing standing up, and it was really quite a nuisance, and sometimes it was a pretty annoying. And I found a litter box that totally worked, and I never, ever had another problem. And I would like to share it. If I don't receive any compensation.
Okay, all right, good. I'm glad you put that out there. Good.
Just wanted you to know. The thing is called CatIt, C-A-T-I-T. I found it on Amazon. And the sides are so high. It's a covered cat box. The sides are so high that she could not pee into the seam. And so I never, ever had the problem again. It's the perfect thing. Mm. It's so weird to love a litter box.
Yeah, it is.
I
think it's totally normal. That's
okay.
Thank you.
All right, Dr. Spence is with you.
It's great.
Thank you, Dr. Spence. You and me.
Thanks, Margie.
You're so welcome. Enjoy the day, folks.
Thank you.
1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. And over to Gary in West Haven. Gary, you're on.
All right.
Hello.
I wanted to make a comment about cats being allowed to run free outdoors 24 hours a day if they so choose. It really has a big effect on our little nocturnal creatures and our ground birds. They spend a lot of their time at bird feeders.
Yeah, okay.
I have little flying squirrels at night, and I noticed the population was going down, and I happened to cross a special perch that a cat would use to eat the little flying squirrels, and I found 15 tails in one pile.
Well, you make a point.
I get angry when I see people just letting their cats run free.
All right, fair enough.
It's not fair to their neighbors or to the little critters out there that are fighting to survive.
Okay. Well, thanks, Gary. Appreciate it. I mean, the other thing is you could say nature sort of handles these things, right? So a cat is a born hunter, right? So
well, I have a cat.
Okay.
And she's of the age. She's always been inside. I do go out with her anytime she goes outdoors. And she, not having been outdoors a lot, doesn't have a very, she has little success in catching anything.
Good. So an inept cat is certainly a safe cat. Gary, thank you very much. Docs, you want to weigh in on this whole thing?
I think it's a valid point. My husband is a birder, and he, I think a lot of birding people, rightly so, feel very passionate that outdoor cats, I mean, they're murderers. They can do a lot of damage. And I think they attached a camera to a free-roaming cat, and I think the kill number that cat had of birds during a day was, astounding. So I think he makes a valid point.
Now, we do the gardening show on this program, and oftentimes someone will say, well, I got voles, I got chipmunks in my... They say, get a cat. It's the number one solution for some of these guys who garden. So there's the other side of that. Diane in New Salem. Diane, you're on.
Hi. I have a question. I have two Abyssinian cats, brother and sister. They're age 9. And speaking of neurotic, they're delightfully neurotic. I'm wondering if they're too old to have dental cleaning. I'm concerned about the anesthesia. In the last few months, I've noticed they have a very odorous breath, almost a fishy type breath.
Yep. And that's very common. Most animals, by the time they're three, have dental disease. And at nine, I wouldn't think that your cats are too old to undergo anesthesia, but we take a lot of precautions with, you know, physical exam findings to make sure that there are no life-threatening illnesses, murmurs, other abnormalities before we consider such. And they do blood work screening so that we know all the organs are properly working so they can eliminate anesthetic of any kind. And unfortunately, they don't sit in a chair and let us do things. We have to anesthetize them every time. Mm. And
these
at
guys
nine,
don't sit in a chair for anything.
No, no. And at 9 years of age, I think it's a good investment before they get really too old to consider anesthesia. Once they become much older, I think I would be far more concerned about it. So at nine, I think, you know, it's a good time to address the odor that you're seeing and any bad diseased teeth. Unfortunately, we don't repair many of them. Cats get weird types of cavities and painful conditions that are best dealt with sometimes with extractions and things of that sort that, you know, the vet can certainly tell you how bad, you know, the dental disease is in both of them. But I would certainly pursue having something done before they get much older.
So you feel the anesthesia isn't really a problem if the workup is complete?
Correct. You never have a guarantee, just like with any living being. There are no guarantees about, you know, the risks of anesthesia, but we lessen them tremendously with proper workup and safety that
monitoring,
way. And monitoring, too, yeah.
Right.
You know, we monitor them just like they would monitor you when you're under anesthesia, same way.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay.
Diane, thank you very much. And the number to call here on Vox Pop is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. It's Pets and Vets. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from East Heaven Hot Tubs and Paradise Spa, Northampton, Massachusetts. Offering private hot tub room rentals with indoor or outdoor rooftop tubs, massage for couples and individuals, eastheaven.com. And Hudson Wine Merchants, Hudson, New York. Celebrating 10 years of wine and food in the Hudson Valley, raise your glass, hudsonwinemerchants.com.
Pets and Vets on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551. Ray Graff here, joined by Dr. Michelle Hardacre and Dr. Kelly Spence. And here's one that came in via email at voxpopwamc.org. Dear doctors, that's you, my question is about the efficacy of flea and tick collars versus getting a shot from the vet. I don't see too many people putting flea and tick collars on their cats and dogs anymore. Is that because they're not as effective? What's the best way to prevent fleas and ticks? And that's from Mark.
Yeah.
Well, most of the traditional flea collars are useless. There is one, I think it's the only one out, that is called Seresto.
Yes,
which
$70, by the way.
It
I
is
got
for
one.
Multiple
but
months worth.
If it lasts 8 months, do the math.
No,
it's well worth it.
Yeah.
And there's a rebate, too. But they
oh,
are extremely effective against fleas and ticks, cats, dogs. And I don't have stock in the company, but they are astoundingly good, and I think we used to just discount any kind of flea collars as being effective in any way, shape, or form. We've had to kind of make an exception because this one does work.
And there is, of course, any number of websites that'll tell you, oh, this, that, the other thing is dangerous and horrible. But I've seen an awful lot that say the old-fashioned flea collars are not terribly safe for the cat or
exactly.
for people. And
exactly.
I hear this one's a little bit better in that regard.
It is. It's got weird technology where it only meters out a dose on a regular daily basis. You even if the dog swallows it, it'll only get that 24 or 48 hours release of the drug and then be gone. It's not a toxic level, and it doesn't smell. And for the most part, it's very well done.
It seems to work.
Yes.
All right, back to the phones we go. Kathleen in Williamstown. Kathleen, you're on.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a 17-year-old calico cat who's an indoor cat. And my question is, I think she's been constipated, and I'm not quite sure what to do about it. I've noticed that her stools have been very small, marble-like, and she missed in the last 4 or 5 days, maybe one day without stooling. And that's not her usual regime. And she drinks an awful lot of water on a regular basis. And she eats dry food as well as a small amount of wet food. Mainly takes the wet food when she has her thyroid medication.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I just wondered if you had any recommendation for constipation in cats, and shy of going to the vet. We thought we'd wait a few days to see, you know, if there was any change in the bowel habit. And I've been massaging her abdomen, and which she happens to like anyway, and she doesn't grimace or seem to back away or have any pain, or I don't feel any hardness of stool in her abdomen. Not that I'm a vet, but I just thought that maybe she would, you know, run away or something, or whine in pain.
Okay.
Sure. I mean, when is the last time that she's been into the vet? Has it been recently?
This past fall. She goes annually.
Sure. Okay. I guess in a 17-year-old cat that already has thyroid disease, it sounds like, you just have to be a little bit careful. Sometimes with thyroid disease, we'll see in conjunction kidney disease, which just in a cat that age, when you start thinking about constipation, you worry, is there something that's causing her to be dehydrated? And if she's drinking a little more than you think she used to, that's something that just kind of raises a little bit of a red flag in my mind. Certainly in the interim, I mean, increasing her moisture content is a great idea. So adding more canned food to her diet, adding water to the canned food. But it just sounds like, you know, one of the first things we'll start to see with kidney disease or some of these other diseases like diabetes in cats is they'll start drinking a little bit more and maybe peeing a little bit more, and then they'll start getting dehydrated as a consequence. So just something in a cat that age, you have to be a little bit careful playing the kind of wait and see game.
And it seems like it's less likely to be constipated rather than dehydrated from the symptoms you're telling us of.
Oh, well, that's very helpful information. Thank you very much.
Okay. Good
Thanks,
luck.
Kathleen.
All right. Bye. Okay. We'll check it out.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate the call. Over to Jeff in Albany. Jeff.
Hi. I hear there's a dog team today. I have a perfectly healthy 4-year-old Blue Merle Roddy mix. Mm-hmm. And she gets car sick.
Okay.
Is there a suggestion, a solution, over-the-counter human medicine kind of medication? Anything you suggest?
You can use Benadryl, Dramamine,
okay.
Both of which act similarly. You try going for shorter trips initially to get her acclimated and see if she'll tolerate that, and then gradually getting longer and longer distances, or that doesn't matter at all. It's just motion sickness.
We've tried that.
Okay.
We've tried that. We've tried calming oils, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, and I make sure she's not got a full stomach.
Yep.
It'd be a little bit more dangerous. But there are things.
How we learned.
Okay, and there's a drug called Serenia 2, which is something that is actually on the market, labeled for that use specifically in dogs and cats for motion sickness. Far more expensive, of course, but sometimes things like Benadryl can work
How much Benadryl would you give an animal?
How big is the dog? How much does it weigh?
about 65.
Okay, so you would probably, a milligram per pound, roughly, I would say try a 25 milligram or two.
Okay.
You never know.
All right, Jeff, thanks a lot. That dog will be knocked out if you give the...
That's part of the reason it works.
All right, but it's safe?
Yes.
Okay. Mary in Pittsfield. Mary, you're on.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm calling with a couple of solutions that I know work. I'm transplanted here from New York, did a lot of cat rescue for many, many years. Regarding outdoor cats, I have a, and I don't have stock or anything in this, but I have a perfect fence, P-U-R-R, perfect fence. It's 400 square feet enclosed. My cats get outdoor time, and neighbors never get bothered. The birds don't get killed. It's patios and enclosures like this can be wonderful for cats. They've got a house there. They've got plants. They're happy.
Okay.
That's my one thing. And then the other thing that I hear the problem come up on a lot with vets on your show, but regarding kidney problems and UTIs, there is a food I've been using. I have two 9/11 rescues. They're brothers, and they chronically, when I first got them, had UTIs. And I moved to Weisong Uretic. This food is a miracle. It's wonderful, and never have had a problem since. And I know vets don't always, you know, they're not as familiar with food solutions because maybe they don't, you know, they're just not aware
of it. Well, why don't we take a pause here and talk to the vets about it. What do you think?
You go right ahead, and thank you for taking my call. I just mean to be helpful because people have those issues.
Thanks, Mary.
And okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye. What do you think?
Yeah, so any food that you're using, and I'm not familiar, I guess, with that particular diet, the main things you want to make sure it's got to be an AAFCO-approved food.
And what does that stand for?
It's the American Association of Food Officials. There's a C in there somewhere.
It's a little vague.
Yeah, it's a little vague. Google it. You know, they
are nutritionally complete.
Yes. And, so it's they make sure that basically the diets that you're feeding are what they say they are, and that they're safe. And every pet food should have a label on it. If it doesn't, you should avoid that.
All right. Let's go back to Doreen in Gloversville. Doreen.
Hi, I'm calling about a DNA question, actually.
This can't be Doreen, though, right?
No, Doreen.
Oh, Doreen. All right, fair enough. Well, you're on.
All right. My girlfriend and I got our cat back in the springtime last year, and she's really phenomenal. She's got a 4-inch leap or a 4-foot leap in the air. She's severely loyal. So we were looking up cats online, and we came across the Savannah cat, which, you know, sounded like our Jade. So we took her to the vet, and the vets keep asking us what kind of cat she has in her, because she hasn't lost any of her coloring from being a kitten. She's got leopard spots on her stomach and really, really prominent tiger stripes and an adma on the forehead. I was just wondering how expensive and how easy is DNA testing for our cat.
Okay.
I don't know how cheap it is. There are a few companies I know that do dog breeds. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure about cats.
I'm not sure
either,
about the cats.
Yeah, but they tend to be a couple hundred dollars or so. But I don't know that they have as much research in DNA information on cats and cat breeds like they do dogs. But you know, I just can't say it's come up enough for me to have any real idea for you.
So, Doran, are you suggesting this cat is some sort of a hybrid or a throwback?
I think that she might very well be a hybrid.
Any ideas, Docs?
Probably just tell everybody that and then, no, I'm just...
Yeah, make up a good name.
Yeah, just tell people she's half panther.
Yeah.
Sounds like a beautiful cat.
Yeah, really.
All right.
That's all we got. Thanks a
lot.
Appreciate the call. Valerie in Glenville. Valerie, you're on.
Hi, how are you this afternoon?
What?
How are you this afternoon?
Oh, good. We're well. How are you?
Very good. Listen,
listen, I just wanted to weigh in on that whole outdoor cat situation. And I got to tell you, I love cats. I love dogs. But this is what I find to be an issue. In Glenville, our soil is really, really sandy.
Yeah.
And therefore, when cats are let outdoors to do whatever it is they want to do, they find their way to our yard and our plants. And therefore, I'm picking up after somebody else's pet. And the other thing is, they seem to be very territorial when it doesn't have anything to do with their territory, because I'll come out and my front porch will be sprayed and that type of thing. And that prevents me from actually putting out chairs to sit on and be able to enjoy my own space. Oh, so that's kind of my issue with people letting their cats out and just have free reign.
Okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate the call. So if a cat sprays, it's not fixed, right? Will the cat stop spraying when it's fixed?
No.
Nope.
No?
No. They can spray anytime they want to mark something,
yes.
Male or female.
Okay, so that doesn't stop once you fix it.
The later in life that you spay or neuter your cat, the more likely you are to have those problems.
All righty. Let's go to Christine in Western Massachusetts. Christine, you're on Vox Pop.
Hi. I have an oddball question that started out, it was humorous when she first started doing it. It's a female, and what she does is she will take her food, it started out as wet and now it's anything, and she will take a giant mouthful of her food and she will carry it over to the water bowl and dump it in. And even if another cat is drinking, it doesn't even matter.
Wow.
She's very obsessed. And so what she'll do, she'll dump the food in the bowl and then she will stir it frantically, wildly with her paw, and she's having a great time. And then when it's basically down to like nothing, she will then scoop it up and eat it, and when she's done with that, she will tip the water bowl over. Now, I've gone to the extent of having the food on one floor and the water bowl on the second floor at the opposite end of the house, and she will find the water bowl and carry the food wherever the bowl is.
Wow.
I can have water bowls four in a row, and she will keep enough food that she can do it to each water bowl. And again, I go away for a couple of days at a time, and it's getting very frustrating because I'm filling huge pans with water all over the place to compensate for her doing that.
Oh, boy.
Any suggestions?
Hi. Do you have things? I mean, is she bored? Does she have things to do in the house? Have you tried food puzzles
yep.
and treat balls and different things
I've
of that nature?
I've tried everything.
Changing
and she
the
has
food.
Siblings and plays with them, but this is her thing. And literally, she will push other cats out of the way to get the food to do it. And she has a great time and is really enjoying herself.
So this is you just brought up a point.
Yeah, you don't know if she's playing with her food because she doesn't like the taste of it.
Oh, she does.
Okay.
She will always eat before she does that.
Have you tried putting more liquid in the food so
yes.
that it saves her the... okay.
So this cat's just nuts.
Yeah, needs
yeah,
a psychiatrist.
Sounds like she's a cat.
Okay.
Different show.
Oh, yeah. Well, not, you know, at what point do you say it's time for kitty medication or doggy downers? I mean, what time
well,
is...
We do a fair amount of Prozac in cats.
Yeah.
If it's becoming... I mean, and that's a whole other thing because then you have to be committed to medicating your cat every day.
Forever?
Yeah. I mean, if you're using it as a behavioral issue, as long as you want that behavior to... you know, be resolved. So that's tricky. I would definitely encourage you to, you know, maybe try not feeding her in the conventional method. So putting her food in a ball with holes in it. So we use treat balls a lot for cats. I don't know. It sounds like she's a mischievous sort of cat. And so I would try whatever I could do, I guess, to keep her occupied. But I don't know if I have any better.
But
advice.
At the end of the day, the cat is just having fun.
Yeah, cats are, they're nuts.
And if the cat figures out it annoys you, the cat's going to do it more
right,
often.
Right, right.
Possible.
Yeah, just like a teenager.
Very, yeah. All right, so let's go to, is it Say or Sal? I can't quite read this. Hello?
Hello?
Is it Sal or Say? I can't read that.
It's Sue from Saratoga Springs.
It doesn't look like Sue. Anyway, you're on. You got about 30 seconds.
Oh, okay, quick question. I have an older dog. I just wanted to also commend you on the suggestion for the Remedil for the dog. My dog's been on it for 6 years. It saved his life. It keeps him mobile. And he's now 15, and can dogs go senile like people? He's
yeah.
got some strange behaviors all of a sudden that he never did that are erupting, like begging and going into the garbage and things like that. And it's so atypical for him. And I just said to myself, Well, people go senile. Dogs do too, I guess, huh?
They can. They can have cognitive disorders. Yeah, yeah. And sometimes we have them on some supplements that may help, and their behavior, you know, what level of that is due to some other ailment at 15, could be anything. Could be anything.
Right, right. I did call my vet, and they said they would run some blood work, because while you were I was listening, I said to myself, you know, I better call and make sure he's checked out metabolically, because... Right. I don't want to think he's starving, and I'm blaming it on senility, but he has other behaviors that just seem like he's never done before, which is kind of like this, but I do know he's 15, and he's on borrowed time now, and we're willing to put up with whatever we have to.
Sue, we're out of time. Thank you so much for calling, and wow, that was a fast hour. Thank you to Dr. Michelle Hardacre and Dr. Kelly Spence. Did you have fun?
It's great.
Yeah.
Will you come back?
Absolutely. If you'll have us.
All right. Oh, we'll definitely have you. Support comes from Kingsway Community, Schenectady, New York, offering a continuum of care and services to area seniors since 1975, including assisted living and more, caring in the family tradition, 518-393-8800. And Curtis Lumber, specializing in kitchen design featuring Cambria, quartz countertops, Muralot, cabinetry and more. Designer consult. That's what the phonetics say. Designer consultations available. CurtisLumber.com. Thanks for being here, everybody. Thanks for your great calls. Thanks to Zach Malloy, who was our engineer. Your phones were answered by Bruce Herbach, our producer Jessica Blaustein, Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, here in the dead of winter, we will have a special edition of the gardening program. Stay tuned now for a news update.